Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And no co-host tonight. Christopher John O'Shea was supposed to be with me, but I have a guest tonight. So he said, hey, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to go hang out with my wife. It's her birthday month, and so I'll be with her. And I said, fine, I've got Shauna Lavia with me, and we're talking taxes, especially business taxes. So this is what we're talking about, businesses, estate planning, you know, PPP loans and the forgiveness of PPP loans and all the different. I mean, there are so many different facets that have impacted businesses in this in all of these stimulus bills that started as of March of last year and are still, you know, just signed a new one on Friday. Another $2 trillion, if you want to be exact, $1.9 trillion, and just money being thrown around. And if you're not thoughtful about it, you're not going to get any of it. You're going to end up being the one that pays for it all. So you have to be thinking about this and knowing what the rules are, and are you entitled to it or are you not entitled to it? And so if you want to call in and ask a question about your own personal situation, you can feel free to call at 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. We're going to try to talk mainly about stimulus and PPP loans and these aid relief programs and so forth. That's going to be our focus. So if you're calling in, just make sure you're thinking about that, that that's the focus of what we're going to try to talk about. So I just want to say, introduce Sean. Sean, are you there with me?
I am, Drew. Thanks for having me out again.
Yeah, and you're with the law firm of Levin and Gann, right, in Towson?
I am.
Yep.
I've been here. And if I can just give a quick hi to my two little daughters, I promised I'd say hi to them tonight.
Go ahead, Amy and Ava.
I love you both, and I'll see you later tonight, hopefully. And my wife, of course.
All right. You didn't say her name.
Jasmine.
There you go. You know, you got them all in there, right?
Absolutely.
A shout out to the family. That's a good thing, you know?
Absolutely.
If it's, there's nothing, you know, as we say in this show, you know, we start off the show with the song, you know, money doesn't buy me love, you know, and if you don't have that love and support of family, you know, all the money in the world isn't worth anything, you know?
That's exactly right, and we do the money for family too as well, right? I mean, it's all tied together somehow.
All tied together, you know. But you know, we don't want to destroy those relationships for the sake of money. We want to use the money as a good tool to help build good, strong relationships. So that's what you're doing there, and that's what we think is wonderful. So it's great to have you, Sean. Let's just tell our listeners again: we're going to be talking about business tax planning. We're going to be talking about taxes, stimulus plans, stimulus laws. If you want to call in and ask a question dealing with taxes, especially business taxes or estate planning, there's where Sean specializes in. But we can take the questions that you want to ask, and we'll deal with them. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. 410-922-6680. And I've got Charles in Cadenceville, so I might as well go to Charles in Cadenceville. Charles, how can we help you?
I hope I explain my question well.
Sure.
All right. Once you've sent your taxes into the IRS, I guess your computers get to work and check out all the math.
Yeah.
So here's my question. You know daggone well, if they come up and figure out that you owe them, they're going to come back and get you. But let's say hypothetically, and in my case, I must have had 12 1099s dealing with brokerage-related things.
Okay.
Let's say, as a naive person, I don't do them right.
Right.
And when they get them, if they find that there are more capital gains than I reported, they're going to come back and get to me. But what if they review it in a computer show, oh, this guy had a $20,000 capital loss he didn't report. They're going to come back and
they're not going to do anything.
They're not going to do anything.
I do not know anything in the IRS system that tells the taxpayer that they potentially overpaid taxes. Do you, Sean?
I do not, and it's actually a little worse than that, because what happens is the 1099 that you received, the B, that shows the capital loss, it shows your basis and what you received. When they input it in the system, if you didn't include it in your tax return, when it gets inputted, they don't always put in what your basis is. So what happens is it may be, even though you had a loss, let's assume you didn't report one of your 1099s on your return, they will just assume it was all gain, and you'll get a notice saying, "Hey, you didn't import this, include this information. We've adjusted your return. Please let us know if you disagree." So, in fact, they will, even if it's a loss, you might get something saying it was a gain, and then you're going to have to send a notice to them saying, "No, here's my basis. Here's what the 1099 showed." And then you're going to have to respond to them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So and I've seen this too, Charles. I had a client one day come in with their taxes and we're reviewing them. And I knew what they made. And I said, "Wow, you know, last year you made a lot more money." And they said, "No, I didn't." And I said, "According to your tax return, you did. You made $20,000 more than you're saying you did this year." And they go, "No, I didn't." And they went back and looked. And what turned out was, the numbers, when the preparer put the numbers down, they flipped them around. It should have been 52 or it should have been 57 and not 75. And the IRS, even though they had the W-2s, said nothing. And we corrected the return and the IRS sent him back his money quite happily, but they did not notify him.
Okay.
You know. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know. All right, Charles, good question.
Thank you.
All right. But it is interesting, Sean, that their systems are set up to alert you if you've underpaid them potentially, but there's nothing in their systems that alerts you that you've overpaid them.
Not typically. I mean, I can invent a very bizarre situation to get there, but you would think it would be more obvious than that, and unfortunately it isn't. And you know, we talk about the IRS, but let's not forget about the lovely comptroller.
Yeah. Now, I will give them this, Sean. They are very good at telling you if you underreported your withholdings. So whatever is in your withholding account, even if you underreport that, they are very good at letting you know. So I'll give them credit for that. Your withholdings, what you have in estimated taxes and so forth. If you underreport it, they will say, "No, you paid in a lot more than this, so we owe you money back." So anyway, we got to go to traffic. We're going to be right back. Any callers want to call in 410-922-6680. We're talking stimulus. We're talking PPP loans. We're talking business taxes, estate planning, anything dealing with taxes. That's where Sean specializes. Give us a call, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Sean Olavia of Levin & Gann. He's a tax attorney. That's his specialty. And so we're talking taxes, mainly in regard to these COVID relief bills, like PPP loans for business owners and what your relief is, you know, and how do you get the loan forgiven? And can you get more money? Can you still get money now? And the answer is yes to that, right, Sean?
Absolutely. The second PPP has come out. It's still available. And the requirements are a little bit different. So you have to show that you had a decrease in revenue for your business in 2020 compared to 2019, but which in the first round you didn't have to necessarily show that. So there's a little bit more of a requirement, but it certainly is available to a lot of people. And actually, if I can sort of hijack the conversation a bit, one of the things I've been noticing with clients is where they have PPP on the first round, and they apply for the second, and they have questions about should they apply for cancellation or forgiveness of the first loan before they do the second. And my advice is always apply for the new money as soon as possible so you secure your place in line.
Yeah, so good point.
To anybody, apply as quickly as you can and worry about forgiveness on the other part later.
Yeah. So we have a couple callers. Let's go to them. And then I want to come back to forgiveness of PPP loans because that's becoming a big issue for some clients. And so let's go see with Tom. Tom and Towson, how can we help you?
Yes, gentlemen, great show. Okay, I'm the power of attorney over elderly relatives' estate.
Okay.
Still living. And she has a brokerage account. And she has some stocks and mutual funds where the basis on the monthly report is blank. Now, in other words, the basis has not been filled in.
Right, because probably the stocks were bought long, long, long time ago, and the brokerage is saying, we just don't know what it is.
Right.
Yes, correct. How do if I wanted to sell those securities, how would I put in a basis?
You would have to do some homework, but I'll let Sean start off and answer this, and I'll add my 2 cents afterward. Go ahead, Sean.
The answer is you have to do your homework, and if you are unable to get a definitive answer based on documents that you have, the IRS would tell you have to assume a basis of zero. But again, I don't necessarily agree with that advice. I would tell people take your best guess of ask the elderly relative to the extent that they that they're able to say, hey, do you know exactly approximately what decade you bought the stock? And sort of work your way backwards.
And also make sure you ask, did any time during the time of ownership, did you inherit this from somebody? So, because a lot of times, another family member died and that's how they got it. So that date of death might be the cost basis for that stock.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's a lot of homework you do. We do it all the time, Tom. We go through a whole list of questions with our clients and we say, let's try to establish a cost basis. Now, here's another good thing you can do. If your relatives that you're handling the money for, if they're charitably inclined. So in other words, let's say they give $5,000 or $10,000 a year away. And what we do is we take that highly appreciated stock and we put it into what's called a donor advised fund. That way I don't even have to worry about what the cost basis is. All I know is that it was $10,000 worth of stock. I get a $10,000 charitable deduction, and now they can continue to give that money to charity, but they're going to do it through a donor advised fund. So there's all kinds of strategies to use for this exact situation, my friend.
I have a second question.
Yep.
Regarding life insurance.
Yep.
I'm in my 60s. I have some health problems. I don't qualify for a term, like a 10-year term policy.
Right.
Should I apply for a permanent, like a whole life policy? Would the requirements be easier?
No. And the first question you have to ask yourself, Tom, is do I really need life insurance? Is somebody's life going to be materially altered if you die and they then lose your salary or lose something else, etc.?
The answer is yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then do you work for a company with group life insurance?
Yes.
So
it's term, and well, it's very expensive.
Well, but you know, any insurance you get, if you have a terminal illness of some sort or an illness that's going to shorten your life expectancy, the life insurance is going to be extremely expensive no matter what. Don't be fooled into people who try to give you an easy answer to your question, because there isn't one. All right?
Okay.
So, and somebody who does is going to possibly be selling you a bill of goods that is going to seem inexpensive, but in the end be expensive.
And keep in mind, with whole life policies, you're really buying two assets. You're buying, number one, some sort of term policy, and you're also buying an investment where they're investing your money and hoping that it increases in value so it supports the higher premiums later in life. So you might be better off with just taking whatever you want to put aside for the premium and investing it on your own with a financial advisor, and you might end up in a better position if you ended up living most of that 10-year term. So because
yeah.
you'd likely get a better return than what they would get, because you wouldn't be buying that asset, that term life insurance policy.
Tom, if you want to call me at my office sometime, I'd be more than happy to take 20 minutes, a half hour with you and just go through everything and say, here's your best course of action. But I need to know everything. And I'm not going to charge you anything. I just do it because you need the help, buddy. So if you want to call 410-823-7283, feel free, and I'll give you honest, fair, unbiased advice, okay?
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care. Let's go to Ed in Marriottsville. Ed, how can we help you?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I retired 20 years ago on a pension from the state based on a tax-free pension due to the fact that I retired in lieu of workers' compensation.
Okay.
I'm getting older now, and I'm thinking about retiring. Will that be affected if I retire entirely? Would I have to then say it's no longer in lieu of
workers' comp?
Whatever.
Right. Right. Well, that's a difficult one. Do you know the answer to that one?
I couldn't answer without looking at the documents.
Yeah, you know, it's...
That's very specific. It's going to matter when you got the payments. It's going to matter that does it stop when you reach a certain age? Do you have an obligation to file for Social Security? Was Social Security being paid in? There are lots of variables. It would be impossible to go through without looking at the documents.
Yeah. That's a really unique situation you've got, Ed. I used to do what's called tax-free structured settlements, and sometimes for workers' comp. But like Sean says, unless we knew all the specifics of your situation, what documents were signed and so forth, it would be impossible to answer. What I would do is ask the people, whoever are coordinating these payments with you, what would happen if you retired at da-da-da-da-da.
Okay, I guess I have to call the state retirement system.
Yeah, that and whoever the Human Resource Department of Maryland that's coordinating the workers' comp thing, because they're still overseeing that. Whoever the workers' comp people, whoever's doing that with you. But I know exactly what you're talking about, but I don't know the answer without seeing the documents that you signed, as Sean said. All right?
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right, guy. Good question. That was a fascinating one. You don't see that very often.
Yeah, so. It's interesting.
So in the second part of the show, we want to talk about forgiveness of PPP loans, but we only have about a minute now. Why don't you give us a little as to what's going on with forgiveness now of these loans?
So there are three basic applications that you can do for forgiveness, and they vary which application you have to apply for based on how much your PPP loan was. So if you fall into less than $50,000, it's a one-pager. You don't have to give any documentation. If you're one above $50,000 but less than $150,000, it's a little bit more documentation. And if you're beyond the $150,000, you got to go through and prove everything. But there are some interesting rules that with respect to forgiveness when you're selling your business, and this has come up for a lot of clients of mine recently, and I'd love to spend a few minutes just talking about that when we're not pressed on a minute.
Yeah, well, so we got a whole half a show to go over a lot of that. So, but we just want to let our listeners know we're talking about stimulus laws and PPP loans and estate planning. We got Sean Olavia with us. He's a tax attorney specializing in businesses, business tax planning, estate planning. So if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Lines are open for the second half of the show, so feel free to call in. Right now, though, I have to go to traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. I'm with Sean Olavia from Levin & Gann, and he is a tax attorney. And we're talking about stimulus laws, stimulus payments, PPP loans, PPP forgiveness, employer retention credits. You know, there's a ton of things going on, and there's still money to be gotten. There's still time to get your loans forgiven and all that kind of stuff. And if you have any questions on anything about all these different stimulus bills, feel free to call in 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. There is no one on the line right now, so you can feel free to call and ask a question that might help you. Maybe it is on forgiveness of these PPPs, or maybe it's something else dealing with stimulus laws. 410-922-6680. Yeah, so, Sean, before you go into talking more about how to get these forgiveness of PPP loans, tell everybody who you're with and how to, you know, get in touch with you if they want to.
Absolutely. So I'm with Levin & Gann, PA. It's a law firm in Towson. You can give me a call at 410-321-4651. Again, 410-321-4651. You can also find me on our website, www.levingann.com.
All right. So how easy, you know, you said if you're under $50,000, it's real easy to get forgiven on this loan. But what about the rest of people? You got $85,000. You now need to get forgiven. What's it going to take?
So the three applications, so it's basically Form 3508 or 3508EZ or 3508S. So those are your three basic applications that you can file. And they typically get filed with the SBA. However, depending on the bank that you got your PPP loan with, most of the major banks have their own online portals that you sort of fill in the information they ask, and they will fill out the application on your behalf and submit it directly to the SBA. You know, if I can mention banks, you know, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, all the big ones have pretty good portals, and they're all up and active, and they're all up to date on the rules. So it makes it a very easy process.
But there are bad banks that are
no
asking for. And now you're probably not going to tell us those names, but I could use some if I wanted to. And I ain't going to mention the P bank in Baltimore that irritates me to all I get out. But anyway, we'll move on.
You know, there's a whole list of complaints on that one. I'm going to be nice. So again, it's for the most part, it's pretty good to, you know, go to your bank and have them walk you through that process. It's very easy. But one thing that's caught a lot of clients off guard is there's a little, you know, not sneaky, but there's a little provision in the PPP that says if you sell a portion of your business, so let's assume you're doing your estate planning and you give 20% of your business to your kids because you're doing succession planning and they're involved in the business. Guess what? Well, that technically violates the PPP rules if you didn't get the bank and the SBA's approval. So I have a lot of clients that sort of inadvertently walk into that issue. You know, so the rules technically are if you are selling less than 50% or less of your business, you need the bank's approval. And if you're selling more than 50%, you need the bank and the SBA's approval. You know, and a lot of people don't know this, and they do it, and they see this question on the application. They're like, hey, is this a problem? I'm like, yeah, it's a problem. So then we're working backwards, trying to solve this. So I would like to say to anybody who has a PPP loan that's not forgiven and they're in the process of selling their business or doing succession planning, you got to be very mindful of that before you do it, because even though the rule says if it's under 50%, if you get the bank's approval, it's okay. Most banks don't give you approval because they will if they hold your money in escrow. But most banks don't even want to do that because they don't want to give approval and then somehow they were wrong and then you hold them responsible.
Hold on, Sean. We're going to go to Steve in Pasadena because he wants to ask a question about PPP loans, okay?
Okay.
Steve in Pasadena, how can we help you?
I have a small business in Baltimore, and I got the first round of PPP, and I am currently applying for the second round of PPP, and I'm glad that you guys were talking about the forgiveness. Because I haven't applied for the forgiveness for the first one. I'm applying now for the second one, and I'm wondering, what is the difference between the first round and the second round for a business that has already applied for the first round? Is it less money? Is it, what, like, the time frame?
Nope, you know, that's a good one.
What's the average? You know, what is the difference?
Just tell us, tell us this, Steve. How much did you get in the first round?
It wasn't a lot. It's a very small business, about $10,000.
Okay. So, Sean, tell them what's the new rules.
So the basic difference in your case, again, your amount's very small, so it's not going to be much of an issue. The basic difference is you're going to have to prove that your income in 2020 was less than your in one quarter of 2020 was less than your income for that same quarter in 2019. So by way of example, if your first quarter of 2019 was $100,000 and your first quarter of 2020 was $50,000, you meet the requirements and you can absolutely apply. Nothing else is different for your purposes.
So all you got to do, Steve, is show that you have a quarter in 2019 that was significantly higher than a quarter in 2020. But the first
25%.
Loan, 25%, right. And you don't, and it doesn't matter whether you got the first round of loans or not. You show 25% decline in a quarter, you should get approved for another PPP loan.
Well, I might. In the application, they're asking for your average of 12 months. Not quarterly.
Well, I understand. A lot of applications are, you know, some banks are very bad and other banks are much better. So which bank are you using, if you don't mind I ask?
It's BB&T Truist.
Truist, yeah.
So I would actually call somebody there and say, hey, my quarter is low. You know, I have a quarter where I'm under. Even though my total numbers were high, and you know, sort of get them to help you walk that through. So some banks, their online portals are not good about that, but they'll certainly be able to help you over the phone. And you know, Truist is not it's certainly not the worst one.
No, they're not the worst one. They're not the P bank.
I thought that they did a great job on the first one. Great job. I mean, it was a pain. But I've done it once, so I kind of know what I'm getting into now. Are people getting more money?
It depends.
Or less money, or
it's based on the same. It's based on the same information, and actually, most portals allow, and the SBA allows you to do it based on your 19 numbers as well. You know, so you can end up getting exactly the same amount of money. And in fact, it's actually easier on most banks' portals because they import all your 19 information that you did when you did it in 20. You know, so a lot of people are getting exactly the same amount they got on the first one. The factors that they use to determine how much you get are exactly the same. The only difference with the second is they say that you can use 20's numbers or you can use 19's numbers. for a lot of people, 19's numbers, they had more income than they did in 20. So, and they had more employees or and everything else that helps them, you know, get that number higher. So most people I know are actually using the figures that they had for 19.
All right, Steve, got to run. Good question. Sean, so, you know, this new loan is based on the same things. I mean, you know, somebody in 2020 could have had a disaster quarter in the second quarter, been down more than 25%, but then came back booming in the third and fourth quarter, actually make more money in 2020 than 2019, and still be qualified for this latest round of PPP.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because they just have to have one quarter that shows 25% decline. But Steve's question is exactly what a lot of people are saying. I go onto these portals, I'm filling out this stuff, and it's not asking anything like that, you know?
Yeah, and that's because you're in a bank's portal, unfortunately.
Yeah, and some of them are okay, and some of them are horrible, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Bank of America is probably, and they're not my favorite bank, but... but they probably have one of the best ones, the best portals that I've seen.
You know what's interesting is I found that, you know, the smaller the bank where you can get to talk to somebody and say, here's my situation, normally they will just take care of it and get it applied for them. But these, you know, big banks, you got to deal with these portals.
I was going to say to you the same thing, and the ones that are better than Bank of America are the small banks. You
really?
Sandy Spring, you know, Orrstown, all the small banks end up being a lot better.
Because you're going to talk to somebody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that person you talk to will have some authority to do something and not have to, you know, make a call to this department or that department and it gets lost in the ether, right?
That's correct. We got to take another pause. We're with Sean Alavia. Time's running out. If you want to call and talk about PPP with one of the, you know, guys that really knows it all, how to get forgiveness, how to get your loan, et cetera, or estate planning or anything with business tax planning, Sean's here with us for not more than 15 more minutes. But right now I got to take a pause, get away traffic.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Oh, yes. We're wanted to say have a happy St. Patricio Day, the Italian saint of Italy. Isn't that what today is, Sean?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
You're Italian, right, Sean Alavia? That sounds very Italian. I know not. But anyway,
yes.
It's close. Anyway, we're here with Sean Alavia. He's a tax attorney with Levin and Gann in...
well, my first name is spelled the Irish way, so I guess that counts for something, right?
Yeah, well, you know, if I had McCarthy or O'Shea here, we would be talking about St. Patrick's Day, I'm sure. But I don't have the Irishman with me, so I get to talk about Italy. You know, anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. And Sean definitely is an expert in all these PPPs and forgiveness and so forth. We have George in Annapolis. We're going to go to him. But if you want to call in while we're talking to George, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. George, how can we help you?
Well, I have a small business, and I had one of the first PPP loans, and it was under $150,000. But what I'm intending to do is basically sell the business to employees and work for them in that. But I haven't, you know, got any forgiveness on the loan. I didn't want to initiate anything for, I don't know why, you know, until it was settled. And you certainly brought up some points on that, so I am real curious. Can you
so
walk me
before
through
you
liabilities?
Go, yeah. Before you, let me just ask you a question: are you going to sell it to the employees just outright, or are you going to use an ESOP, or are you have any thoughts on that?
No, I was going to. They can't afford to buy it, so I was going to you know, loan them some seed money and do a you know, no payments for a year until hopefully they get on their feet. And
well, have you ever heard of an ESOP, an employee stock purchase plan?
Nope, never have.
How big in revenue is your company?
We probably small company, 9 employees. We probably do, you know, 800,000 or 900,000 a year.
Okay, so then I yeah, you're right. The way you're doing is probably right. Go ahead, Sean, take it away.
Absolutely. So the issue is, if you're negotiating the sale, that's okay. If you've already signed documents and the sale has actually happened, then you sort of have an issue. But you haven't, so it sounds like you haven't, so it sounds like you're still okay. What basically happens is, the minute you sell your business or percentage of your business, the SBA basically needs to approve that sale in order for the PPP money that you had to be forgiven. If the SBA does not approve it, again, SBA approval is needed if you're selling more than 50%, and bank approval is needed if you're selling less than 50%. It sounds like you're selling the whole business, so you would need SBA approval. Because you need that approval before you sell it, I would say to you, apply for forgiveness now, and make sure that you get it forgiven before you actually sign the agreements and sell the business to the employees.
And so, considering the size of his loan, it should be relatively easy forgiveness, shouldn't it?
Absolutely. And you should get an answer from once you go through your bank. You should get an answer within 120 days. You said your loan was 150 or 750?
He said it was under 150.
Under 100.
Yeah. So you should get it very quickly, and it should not be an issue. I would go ahead and get started on that, number one. But before I even do that, I see no reason for you not to apply for the second round, as long as you qualify. So for me, the order of operation would be, see if you qualify for the second round. If you do, apply. And then work on forgiveness and then sell your business, because there's no reason for you not to get that additional money in. And, you know, at the last minute, at the end of last year, we had, you know, the government finally did what they should have done a while ago and said that any PPP funds used, you got the deduction for it. So if you're selling your business and you get that second PPP, you're going to get that benefit by paying expenses that's otherwise going to stay in your pocket. So I would absolutely encourage you.
Sean, are you saying that people can actually apply for the second round of PPPs now and get it as long as they got the 25% in a quarter, and then turn around like a month later and say, I want it forgiven, and they'll forgive the first one and they'll forgive the second one based on all the same payroll and everything?
Exactly.
You
have to wait for your period to run, so it's not like a month. It'd be like 4 months, but yeah.
4 months he can do it. So depends on, you know, and if he wants to sell the business before that 4 months, all he'd have to do is tell the bank, is it okay?
Right.
And the SBA. So.
And if you don't want to go the bank route, there are other ways that you can do so you can have the sale, you know, quote unquote, happen. That's a conversation, you know, once I get more details. But there are ways around that issue as well.
All right, George?
I've been kind of trying to push my bank, and it does begin with P. And I've had little or no help from the bank. And
there's no surprise.
The frustration level's high. At any rate, well, that's some information that I certainly needed, and I appreciate that.
Well, you know, if you have a small bank that you do any business with, even if it's just personal business, contact them. You don't have to do a PPP loan through the bank that you do banking with.
No, but the PPP loan that I have now, I have to deal with the bank I got it through, correct?
Yeah, but you can get that forgiven. And, you know, even though they're paying, they're still forgiving the loans.
They have to.
They have to.
I mean, the SBA, I mean, you don't want the government on your bench.
And not to mention, as Sean was saying, you can actually file the report with the SBA and tell them you want forgiveness. You don't even have to deal with the P Bank if you don't want to. It's just that it's easier if the P Bank is doing their job.
Yeah, because the other thing is what banks are doing is they collect the application, send it to the SBA in batches. So it you know, I'm not going to talk for the SBA, but I get the feeling, again, this is my own gut, that when it comes in through a bank, it's somewhat rubber stamped. So from my perspective, if I have an easier way of getting it done, I typically go with that route.
Yeah, so that means you got to get the bank to do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, George.
Doesn't mean you can't go the other way.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. If you need help, though, you can call Sean Olavia, and he'll help you. And so we're going to have Sean tell everybody if you need help. How do they get in touch with you, Sean? We only have a couple minutes left.
Absolutely. So my direct dial is 410-321-4651. Again, that's 410-321-4651. And you can find me on our website at www.levingann.com.
So, Sean, what other things are you finding right now with all the stimulus money that's going around and what businesses are struggling with or what they should be doing or not doing right now?
I think one of the things that I'm seeing happen right now is lease renegotiations, even where you have a longer-term lease left, especially with offices. I think the whole market for office space leases changed, and tenants, depending on what market you're in, especially if you're in a larger city area, I think now's the time, on top of PPP and everything else, to look at your leases and see, is there any room to push the landlord a bit?
Yeah. It seems to me that, you know, we're in the process of renegotiating where we're going to go or what we're going to do. And it seems like landlords right now are still living in la-la land.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You know, they're like thinking that everyone's going to come back to the office. And I tell you the truth, I'm not finding it with my people.
Yeah. No, and that's another discussion. That's a soapbox discussion about people not wanting to come to the office. But
if you can work from home and you're effective from working from home, I don't have any problem with it. And I think a lot of business owners are finding the same thing.
Absolutely. But yeah, some landlords, and of course, if you're in an area where there are lots of office buildings, you'll find one landlord that will be like, okay, I'm grounded in reality. and actually, you know, I don't know if you know, but we moved our offices and it was the same sort of situation.
Yeah.
And you know, the landlord is great. And, you find the one that understands reality and is living in 2020 and 2021, and you make a deal, right? I mean, listen, the housing market is another thing right now. But that's the opposite.
It's the opposite, right?
Yeah.
But commercial building landlords need to come to reality. So anyway, we're running out of time, Sean. As always, when I have a great guest, time runs quickly. So I appreciate you being with us tonight.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure to be here. And again, love talking tax with anybody, especially you.
Yeah, well, and Levin Gann in Towson, if you want to look him up online, and you'll find Sean on there. And so I just wanted to say thank you again, Sean. Really appreciate it. You go hug those kids for us and have a great night. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Things are gonna